I would like to welcome you this evening to our Bible study. My name is Jabulani Myburgh. I am one of the associate pastors here at Central Baptist Church. And we trust that even as you join us tonight, that you have a blessed time of fellowship with us. And we pray that God would use His Word to encourage you in whatever season that you are, and that it also exhort your hearts as we see what He has prepared for us. Even as we start, I have it's not even a confession, it's a plea that you bear with me. I woke up this morning with a weird tummy bug. So I was feeling a little bit disoriented, but I trust that God will give me grace to impart His Word to us all, and I hope that it will come across as an encouragement to you. So if you just join me as we pray, then we'll get straight into our Bible study for tonight. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives to His beloved sleep. Behold, children, a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. So Lord, we come to You this evening praying, God, that You would please lead us. Father, we understand that we are sinful beings. Lord, I understand that I am a sinful being. And God, if Your Spirit is not at work, Lord, I am unable to rightfully divide Your word of truth. So I pray, Father, that tonight it was Your Spirit who led me to this point, Lord, to bring this study to the church. I pray, Lord, for everyone who's going to join us now. I pray, Lord, for those who are going to join us later. Lord, I pray that as they listen to this study, Lord, that You would turn off all the noise. That, Lord, they would be able to just listen to Your word and what You have prepared for them. And I pray, Lord, that by Your Spirit, You would bring upon just a great fire, a great zeal, Lord, a revival in their hearts. That, God, they would once again want to zealously and passionately champion the cause of Christ. So, Lord, I pray that You lead me. Help me, Lord, to be clear. Lord, give me grace and strength to be able to endure even whatever I'm feeling. And I pray, Lord, that by the end of this, I would all leave feeling blessed and edified by Your word. So this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight we're going to be starting a three-part series titled Pray Until the Lord Revives. And as I was praying and as I've been thinking for the past few weeks, in fact, for the past month or two, even before what is happening in the States, even before what's happening in our country today, and even before what's happening in the world, this global pandemic, I felt the Lord really tugging at my heart and really impressing in my heart this topic of revival. So one of the things that I would like us to go through for the next series is tonight will be the first and we'll be surveying what God has given His church for the duty of being a witness on this earth. Next week, we will look at the need. Why do we need witnesses? Why do we need those who are going to be salt, those who are going to be light in this world? And finally, we will consider the agent of regeneration and the agent who is able to revive the hearts of men. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 62, and we'll be reading from verse 6 to verse 7. So if you have your Bibles, that is Isaiah chapter 62, and we're going to be reading just two verses, verses 6 and verse 7. If you got it, shout I. I heard you. Let's go. Isaiah chapter 62 verse 6 says, "On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen all day and all night. They shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest and give Him no rest until He establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth." So the first thing that we're going to be considering today is the first part of that passage, which says, I have set a watchman over you. But even before we start, let's open in a word of prayer. So Lord, as we go through your word again, I pray, Lord, again, that you would lead me and you would guide me and you guide this process and help us, Lord, to just be zoned in to what you have prepared for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing, I have set watchmen over you. So to give us a bit of context, the book of Isaiah was written with two messages. The first message would be the prophecy of destruction of the nation Israel because of their rebellion against God and because they would also worship idols. So God would bring in the Assyrians and then he would bring in the Babylonians who will destroy the nation and even take some captive with them to their respective lands. The second message would be that of hope. God would lead the prophet in sharing to the people and revealing to the people that although you're going to go through this period within captivity, there is hope. You will be restored again. I will save for myself a remnant who will come back to the land and worship my name. Now, the portion that we find ourselves in tonight is it fits into the message of hope that Isaiah would share to the nation. The people seem to have forgotten what God had promised them, for they were losing hope whilst in captivity to the Babylonians. So some commentators even suggest that the nation started questioning, man, is God indeed stronger than the God of the Babylonians? If he is, why are we losing and why are we slaves to the Babylonians? Do you sometimes feel this way? It's one thing after another. You don't seem to find rest. The news and social media are consuming you with all the dark things that are happening around this world. In all this, have you responded in saying, hey, maybe God is not as strong as I initially thought he was. Maybe he is not sovereign because I feel that he has neglected me. I feel that he has neglected us. I feel like he has neglected his church. You see, Israel would fail at this because they would once again fall back into rebellion and forsake the Lord their God. This was disappointing because God had warned them. He had predicted the things to come, that they be not consumed by the evil which would be set upon them. So he actually says, I declared them to you from of old because they came to pass. I announced them to you lest you should say, my idol did them. My carved images and my metal images commanded them. Man, if you have time, just go back a few chapters and study chapter 41 to 48 and see the argument that God makes in his word that no idol can ever compare to him. See, the reality is, if you take God and you put him up on trial against everything, anything and everything that this world offers you for salvation from sin and judgment, anything that this world offers you for hope, anything that this world offers you for peace or for joy, you will find that nothing can be compared to Jesus. Because he reigns. He's God. He's supreme. He's in control of all things. Now, with that said, we can notice the disappointment from the author. He is grieved when he considers the condition of Jerusalem. Note briefly in verse 1. It says, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. See, there's clarity here that the author saw the nation as this great city of God. God's chosen people who were tasked with proclaiming God to all the earth. But unfortunately, we see that they had failed. Instead, they got consumed by darkness as God had predicted. And read with me in Isaiah chapter 48, and it should appear on your screens. For it says, "You have never heard, you have never known, from of old your ear has not been opened. For I knew that you would surely deal treacherously, and that from before birth you were called a rebel." Verse 9, "For my name's sake I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you, that I may not cut you off." Then he says, "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction." Verse 11, "For my own sake, for my own sake I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another." You see, God assures Israel that their deliverance would be formed purely for the sake of God's own name and not by their own merit. He encourages them to depend purely upon God's power and promise for this deliverance. You see, friends, God is working this out in His new covenant today. It is God and God alone who will deliver His people. He will open their eyes. He will restrain all who are His and refine them through the furnace of affliction. You see, we need to be concerned for the church of Christ. But to have this concern, we need to think about the church as God sees the church. It is His beautiful bride. It is His witness to this wicked world. It's His vehicle for the gospel message that is able to make the fool who once said in his heart, as we saw a few weeks ago, "There is no God." He is able to make that person wise unto salvation. It is able to make the proud humble. It is also able to bring joy to all who mourn and peace to all who are anxious. You'll note in verse 6 of our passage that the watchmen of Christ are located on the walls of Jerusalem. See, now the walls of Jerusalem were a symbol of safety from the surrounding nations and their enemies, because Jerusalem found itself constantly under siege and the walls would protect them from the incoming threat. Now, the walls were also a good vantage point for the watchman who would stand on the walls, and he would be able to see a danger coming in from kilometers away. And he would sound the siren, he would blow the horn, and he would tell his people, "Brace yourselves, the enemy is coming." Now, the falling of its walls, as you note in Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah realizes that the walls had fallen. The falling of its walls would symbolize the defeat of the nation. But that defeat would not just be a physical defeat, but that defeat would also be a spiritual one, because as the nations would come and overthrow Israel, because God had sent this nation to judge the nation Israel for her rebellion. But now, when this nation came and destroyed Israel, what they would also do is they would bring with them their idol gods, and would see the nation Israel, God's people, helping to build shrines and temples for these foreign gods. See, the reality is the abandoning of their God-given duty to be a witness to the world led them to compromise, later even abandoning their faith. You see, we live in an age today where God's people have become indifferent to their God-given mandate to be ambassadors of Christ. The church is under attack by the schemes of the evil one, our own blinding sin, and the false prophet and their crafty ways. These are coming in to attack the church. Church is to once again stand for Christ. And that is why God Himself has placed watchmen over her. Calvin notes, although the prophet intends simply to teach that the church will be safe from all dangers because she has God to watch over her, yet we ought always to consider what is the nature of Christ's kingdom. For it is not defended by the weapons of war or by arms, but by being spiritual. It's protected by spiritual arms and guards. The Lord will therefore have his ministers whose agency he will employ for defending the church by the sword of the word. And she may be kept safe not by earthly gods, but by God's secret and spiritual power. I have set watchmen all day and all night. They shall never be silent. Notice the personal pronoun there. It is God who would set the watchman over Jerusalem. In God's mercy, he has given the nation Israel watchmen. These men are to be concerned to stand upon their guard day and night. They must never be off watch as long as those whose souls they watch are not out of danger. This reminds me, if you notice on the slide there, it reminds me of the queen's guard. You see, he would stand in his place with his gun, and you would even assume that he would not flinch if even the deadliest of hurricanes would hit and bury the city. What you find standing is that guard with his gun. That's the impression I'm giving. Because the queen's guard has been given the duty to not just to be there to perform when it's ceremonial activities, but they were there to provide security during day and night, and during the later hours, they would patrol the grounds of the palace as if the queen herself was watching over them. So they were meticulous in their duty. Spurgeon says, how steadfast and immovable ought those to be whom the Lord himself has set in their place in connection with his church. It is Jehovah who says, I have set watchmen upon thy wall. By a divine arrangement and by a sacred command, saints are set in their positions and they must stand fast, and having done all, must still stand, for they have received their charge from the King himself. See, it's God who had set the watchmen and had said they must never be silent. You see, the phrase there, they must never be silent, means being at rest. So the minister of the Lord was to be continually on the watch so as to foresee at a great distance the dangers that would threaten them. Do you recognize the duty that Christ has given his under shepherds of his sheep? It is a great duty of the elder to protect the sheep that Christ has entrusted to his care. A verse we all know, Acts chapter 20 verse 28 says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Why? To care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. You see, the Lord has not and the Lord will not abandon his church. He has given the church everything that she needs for life and for godliness. And one of the things in life and godliness that she's given the church is her ministers of Christ. He has called and equipped faithful guards to ward off enemies and robbers, to warn and to exhort the church, as those sitting on the wall. In a sermon by Martin Lloyd-Jones, he says, they are sheep at the mercy of thieves and robbers, dogs and wolves. Men and women are in a state of bewilderment, and we have all gone astray. The world is without a shepherd, no politician, no statesman, no philosopher or thinker can give us rest from our bewilderment. Yet, Jesus Christ looks upon us and is moved with compassion. Jesus, does not belong to the multitude so that he can be the good shepherd we need. He is the only hope for the world. Which you follow, would you follow the voice of the good shepherd so that you may find rest and peace? You see, this is the message that God has entrusted to his leaders to preach and to teach, that all who sin would repent to him, that all who weep will find comfort in his care, all who are poor will know that he is sovereign and he will provide, all who experience injustice will know that only he can bring true satisfying justice, all who mourn the death of a loved one will find comfort in his sovereign hand, all who sin will be rebuked and judged by him, and so on. See, take note in Ephesians, Paul's exhortation again to elders. For he says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to your flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And we'll just jump down to verse 28. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease like that watchman, like that English guard who doesn't move from his post. The Apostle Paul says that I did not cease day and night to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among those who are sanctified. See, God has placed his ministers in the world today to be alert and to be on the constant lookout for incoming danger, that they may warn and exhort the church in time to prepare for the onslaught of the enemy, wielding the word of truth, doing this day and night. A commentator commentating on revivals says that all the revivals in the history of the church show that the preaching of God's word coupled with the ministry of the Holy Spirit is a key ingredient. The Holy Spirit often lights the flames of a revival when pastors systematically and faithfully preach the word. Central Family, please hear me out on this. I'm not speaking out of pride as a member of the pastoral staff, but this is something I genuinely believe. I believe that as a member of the church here at Central, God has in his providence given you the leadership that you have today to watch over your souls. The men that I serve alongside, I know have a deep desire that you would trust in the Lord. They have a deep desire that you would love the Lord. They have a deep desire that you grow in the Lord, that you would serve the Lord, that you'd be alert of the threats that are around us. And obviously there's no doubt that we are sinful men. We are by far not perfect. We realize that we need to be heavily dependent on the Spirit of God to lead us. And we pray that God would help us to see, like watchmen sitting on the wall from afar, that we would faithfully point out danger that is coming and lead you away from it and teach you in love to address it through the lens of Scripture. This is important because God has not tasked his ministers. He has not just only tasked his ministers, but he has also charged his church as well. Notice the second point there. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth. See, Spurgeon says that he would have never dared to use such an expression as to put to God in remembrance. That basically means to remind God, unless he found it in the Scriptures. And that prompts the question, is it possible that the great Jehovah, the creator of heaven and earth, the one whose will cannot be thwarted, the righteous and just judge, the sovereign, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God, the author of salvation, the merciful and just God, the loving God, is it possible that this God, who is supreme and who is sovereign, forgets things? No. That's not what the author was intending here. You see, it's the author's intention to describe the duty of the watchman of the Lord. It is the author's intention to describe the duty of the church of Christ. They have the duty to be faithfully interceding to God. They are to be prayer warriors. What the watchman and the people of the Lord will do is take all that God has promised and pray it back to Him. We remind God of things written in His Word that He has given us as promises. What we do is take God's Word and pray it back on Him, saying, Lord, have you not said that you would? Here are a few examples. Lord, have you not said in your word that the gates of Hades will not prevail over your church because you are building your church? Lord, have you not said that you would supply all our needs in Christ Jesus? Lord, have you not said that you would give strength to the weary and increase the power of the weak? Lord, have you not said that though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor your covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Lord, have you not said in your word that all things work for the good of those whom you love, who have been called according to your purpose? Finally, God, have you not said that the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed? Lord, have you not said that the Lord is a stronghold in times of trouble? Lord, have you not said that those who know your name and trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you? Lord, we are reminding you of what you said. And again, Spurgeon says, the best intercessory prayers are begging the blessings or the promises of God. The best intercessory prayers are begging the promises of God. See, our passage says, you who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest. Man, these were people who would be devoted in praying to God. They would almost wear themselves out, as it were, faithfully praying that the Lord reminds, that the Lord remembers all that He has promised to His covenant people. They were faithful and consistent in the duty of prayer. We all know that person who can talk your ear off, or the child who can talk themselves out, or the child who is constantly nagging you, mommy, can I? Daddy, can I? Mommy, can I now? Daddy, can I now? Mommy, how about now? Daddy, how about now? We all know the child who can just constantly nag you. Man, Christ says in speaking to His disciples that the Father expects that of His children. Christ said that as saints, we are to be persistent in approaching the throne of grace, like the widow in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to verse 8. So not only are the watchmen to keep alert at all times, but they are to be constantly praying, interceding for the church of Christ. God has sent watchmen to warn you of incoming danger, but you also know that He has given you, He has given us as the church, His word to help us discern what is not of Christ and a danger to His bride, a threat to His cause and a threat to your heart. Bring that to the throne room of grace as the Spirit reveals it to you. Before your heart hardens and pursues that which would be pleasurable for the flesh, now when God reveals that, hey, this is a danger to your soul, swiftly, promptly say, Lord, help me move away from this. We had to pray for the church because we love the church of Christ. So friends, let's not be deceived that the evil one will try at all costs to divide the church of Christ. His mouthpiece, his lamp to this perverse and darkened generation. And we'll talk more about that next week. But know that God has tasked you with that awesome duty to be His witness. For how long? We see in verse 7. Until He establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth. Man, this is your duty until Christ comes back. So the Lord alone is the author and perfecter of our faith. Yet He brings forward instruments. He uses us as instruments whom He will employ for the building of His church. This reminds us that we ought to not lose courage even when we see nothing but ruin. Even if we see wretchedness and desolation, it is our duty to pray that the Lord will restore His church, which He had promised that He will do, that His church will once again be a witness in this world, that His church will once again be an uncontaminated light that shines bright for the cause of Christ. That all who witness the church may see that surely there must be a God. Surely these people are a redeemed people. These people are a people called according to His good pleasure. Surely I want that God. The nation Israel failed to be light, to be the light that God had intended them to be. And He had told them that they would. So the warning to us as a church is don't fall to the same traps. God has warned us. He has instructed us. He will equip us to be servants that are steadfast, immovable, abounding in every good work. Like a soldier of Christ who doesn't get caught up in civilian pursuits, but pursues after godliness. But this will not come, friends, without the furnace of affliction. God will trial you. Trials may come your way. Afflictions may come your way. But friends, these are not these are to make you realize that you are in deep need of Christ. These are to remind you that you need to be dependent on Jesus and on Jesus alone. These are to remind you that, hey, maybe you haven't been fulfilling your task. Maybe you haven't been faithful in your duty. And as a good loving father, He is chastening you to bring you back onto track to once again be that Christian who is championing His cause. But this requires that the church of Christ be all in. It requires that as you are listening to this, constantly be asking yourself, man, am I a consumer or am I part of this church? I want to be a part of everything that they're doing. I want to be faithful. I want to serve. I'm looking for opportunities to be used. I want to give. I want to be present when the saints meet in fellowship. Man, God, I want to be all in as the church functions as your vehicle of the gospel in this world today. So you need to be all in. And number one, praying for the church and the ministry of the gospel. When was the last time that you faithfully spent time just praying for the gospel? Praying that the gospel would reach the ears of many, that God would again awaken hearts, He would regenerate the hearts of His people, that they would come to know Him and believe in Him and put their faith in Him. Won't you pray that God's gospel will once again penetrate the hearts of mankind, that they would repent of their sins and live in righteousness? All in also praying for the ministers of the Lord that He has placed over your care. Pray for your pastors. Pray for your elders. Pray that God would guide them and protect their hearts and minds, that He would help them to be alert, that He would help them to always be on guard, to be able to see danger from afar off and come and warn the church and lead the church and edify the church in the ways of Christ. Let's pray together that God would help His shepherds to shepherd well. In grace and truth and love. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's also pray till the Lord revives, till He brings back to life the zeal and undivided passion of the church for His name. Pray that the Lord would revive our church, that everyone in the church would just be brought back to life, that He fans to flame, that the flame in our hearts that maybe started diminishing because of our pandemic, maybe it started diminishing because of a certain affliction, maybe it started diminishing because you're discouraged over something. Pray that God would once again fan to flame a great desire for His name, a great passion for God, His cause, His message and His mission. And pray that God would do the same for the church in Pretoria. God would do the same for the church that is worldwide. That we would be a body who is unashamedly sharing the gospel of Christ, and standing for what God stands for, and denying and rebuking all that God hates. May the Lord be our strength, and may the Lord be our guide. And I pray that you are encouraged from our study tonight. Let us pray together. So Lord Jesus, Lord, we do pray that You'd help us as watchmen over your church. That, Lord, you would equip us, you would direct us, you would lead us by your Spirit. That, Lord, we constantly be alert, that we constantly be on guard. That, Lord, we do not flinch at anything that the world throws our way, but we stand firm on your truth. Lord, leading your people to Christ. Lord, seeking to edify your church, Lord, seeking to build your church, Lord, seeking to exhort and encourage your people. Father, I pray for the church of Christ. I pray, Lord, that your universal church, Lord, would unashamedly stand for your truth. That, God, we would once again, as we've heard stories of great revivals, that, God, you would bring about a great revival. Lord, we know that revivals don't mean that sin will be no more. But, God, we know that it means that we will have more and more people on mission sharing the gospel of light. Lord, it does mean that we'll have more and more lights scattered around the world, shining bright with the word of truth and the Spirit of God, exhorting and encouraging the world. So we do pray, Lord, that you please use us. Please grow us, please groom us, please use us. And I pray, Father, as well, Lord, for maybe those who have been discouraged. Lord, for those who have just missed being in church and they've seen their spiritual life take a tumble. Those, Lord, whom the afflictions of COVID have come and have taken away their source of income or has cut their source of income in half or they've been placed out of their flats. Lord, we pray for these people who are your children. Lord, help them to pray the promises of God. Help them to themselves be assured that, Lord, your promises, you will keep them. So help them, Lord, to be persistent, persistently praying your word to you. Lord, we pray that you please hear their prayers. We pray, Lord, that you please answer them mercifully. And God, we also thank you for those who have been sinners. Lord, those who have been on fire for you. Lord, we pray that their fire would not die. We pray, Lord, that their fire would keep burning hot, that, Lord, they would keep wanting to get people on board with them, that, Lord, together they would go and just share your word, and together they would form an army of Christian soldiers seeking after godliness and being witnesses of your resurrection and the salvation that you brought to sinful men. So God, also be with us for the rest of this week. Please, Lord, grant us gospel opportunities. Lord, give us opportunities where we can share your gospel. And Lord, when those opportunities come, give us the boldness to share it. So Lord, this is all we pray for. Keep us, Lord, till we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us. Please join us again on Sunday as we'll be having our service once again as Pastor Charles continues from the book of Hebrews. And join us again on Thursday for our children's section, our children's talk for all the kiddos. And please, if you're on any of our platforms, like, share it, subscribe, so that more and more people are aware that we are out there. And one last thing, as I see Carsten winking at me, please download the app. Please. Thanks. Enjoy the rest of your evening.